The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Practical Living with Dale O'Shields, Senior Pastor of Church of the Redeemer in Maryland. We pray that through this message, you will learn how to apply God's Word and truth to your life. Stay with us as we discover God's truths that will transform us.
Here is Israel, the Northern Kingdom, and this is where Jonah prophesied. He prophesied to the Northern Kingdom. And so God speaks to him and says, I want you, Jonah, to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Nineveh was a huge city, a walled city. And the trip from Israel to Nineveh was about 800 miles. It's about the same distance from here to, say, Orlando, Florida. So that was about the distance they would need to travel to get to Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, he goes down to Joppa, which is, again, modern day known as Jaffa. My wife and I have been there before. You can go to that port to this day. Again, the southern portion of Tel Aviv. He goes there, he gets on a boat, and I want you to see where he goes. Now, if you know anything about geography, ancient geography, you know that this is Spain here, okay? And so Spain is right on that. Of course, Portugal is here now as well, but this is at the tip of this portion of Europe. And so here he goes as far as he possibly can go. In fact, he's now gone to the very edge of the Mediterranean Sea before the Mediterranean Sea goes into the Atlantic Ocean. He could not have gone any farther than he goes, okay? So God says, go here. And where does Jonah head for? He heads for here. Does that sound like you sometimes? The question is, why? Why did he do this? Why, when God said, I just want you to go and preach to these people and give them an opportunity to repent, why wouldn't you do that? And there's a very key reason why Jonah would not go to Nineveh and preach, because he knew the nature of God. He knew and understood the fact that God was a merciful and gracious God, and at the very slightest sign of repentance on the part of the Ninevites, God would relent from bringing judgment upon them, and he would release blessing upon them, and Jonah did not want them to be blessed. Jonah hated the Assyrians. Jonah wanted the Assyrians to be destroyed. They were the arch enemies of Israel. And so he certainly did not want to see blessing come to the Assyrians. He wanted to see God wipe them off the planet. So God says, go and preach. And God, Jonah says, not going, because I know as soon as I preach, they're going to repent. You're going to be nice to them? I don't want you to be nice to them. So I'm going as far away from them as I possibly can go. And he runs in that opposite direction. In fact, it's interesting when you read the story, especially chapter one of the story of Jonah, as we're working our way through, it seems as though Jonah preferred dying over doing the will of God. Okay. He did not want to do, he's just certainly content to be thrown overboard, as we'll see, and to die rather than to do God's will, what God was asking him to do. So what lessons are we learning from these verses? What do you do when you want to say no? Because I think you would all agree with me, this is a really big no, right? Okay. This is a really big no. So what do you and I do when we want to say no, especially when we want to say no to God? Remember this, that God has plans for your life. That seems like a very simplistic statement, and in some ways it is, but I think we fail to grasp the reality of that statement at times. It's a very important beginning point for all of us. It's something that people often will say they believe. Yes, I believe that God has plans for my life, or I believe that God has plans for people's lives. But often we don't live as though we actually believe it's true. We might say, yeah, I believe God has a plan for my life, and then we go on living our life our way. We never stop to think about really what is God's plan for my life. We don't really stop to seek that plan, to understand that plan. Now, what is a plan? A plan is something that describes details. If you're building a building, you have a set of plans that describe all the details of what's to go up when and what materials are to be used and how the process is to follow a certain sequence of events. If you're involved in project management, you know that when you're establishing plans for a project, you're establishing the details of how things flow and the order in which they flow and how all those things flow and work together. And so plans are all about the details of your life. And God cares about the details, the sequential details of your life and my life. God has a set of plans for your life. A set of plans, yes, for your life. Did God have a plan for Jonah's life? We know that he did because it's very clear. And as surely as God had a set of plans for Jonah's life, he does for you as well. Let me describe the plans of God for your life in general terms. I'll give you four dimensions of God's plans for your life. The first plan that God has for your life is to teach you and show you how you are to live your life. The basic sense of how you're actually to go about living your life. What are you? How are you to behave? What are to be the actions and attitudes of your life? Micah 6:8 describes this. He has shown you, O man, O mortal man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? Notice that phrase. What does the Lord require of you to? Here it is, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is God's plan for your life, that you would learn how to act justly. What that means is walk in righteousness, do the right thing with your life, and how you live your life and how you treat other people. To love mercy, that is to let love be something that permeates your life and is demonstrated through your life mercifully and compassionately to other people. And to walk humbly, to never let pride or arrogance be a part of your demeanor, a part of the way you approach life and approach others. This is how we are to live. And so God's plan for your life involves how you are to live. God's plan for your life involves what you are to do with your life, how you're to expend the days of your life, what you are to actually do. When you were born, you were given a birth date. We celebrate it annually. It's called our birthday. And there's a time that you received, your parents received a birth certificate describing the day you were born, the time you were born, the place you were born. All those details are on your birth certificate. There'll be another day in your life that you will die, okay? If Jesus doesn't return before that time, all of us are going to die at some point in time. And then those who are left behind, your loved ones, will receive a death certificate. The death certificate will describe when you die, the day that you die, the time that you die, the cause of your death. All those details will be on your death certificate. And so in life, your life has two bookends, this life, birthday, date of your death. In between is something we call the dash of life. You go to any cemetery and you walk around and you look at the tombstones, you're going to see two dates generally on every tombstone. Birth date, death date, birth date, death date, and something in between is called a dash. But that dash is a very important thing because that dash is what you did with your life. Your whole life is defined by that dash. Ever how many years it might be, that describes what you did with your life during that time. Here's the key to remember. Understand something. Even when you come to this point in life, even though it ends this life as we know it, it doesn't end all of life because there's life after life, and he's called eternal life. And there are two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. We don't talk about it very much. We don't hear the word very often. We don't hear the description of this, but this is not the end. This ends your life here. But there's an eternity that continues, either in the presence of God for all eternity or absent of the presence of God for all eternity. There's only two options. You're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Very clear in Scripture. Jesus talked quite a bit about the life beyond this life. And what you do here determines where you spend there. Now, would you agree with me? That's pretty important, is it not? What you do here determines everything that happens after they put you in the ground and they put a date on your tombstone, ever how it's marked. What you did here will determine what happens in that dimension of life. And God has something for you to do while you're here. Look at Jeremiah the prophet, how he describes God's call in his life. He said, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Notice this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There's never any stronger passage of scripture in the entire Bible. It emphasizes the sanctity of human life. You must understand, the sanctity of human life is not a political issue. The sanctity of human life is a biblical issue. That God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Okay? Even before you were conceived, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We certainly know that Jeremiah had a particular appointing in his life by God, a purpose that he has, but we can extrapolate from that the reality that God has a plan. There's something that you're supposed to be doing with your life also. It's God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life involves, first and foremost, how you're to live, what you're to do, and thirdly, where you are to live. Do you know that God's concerned about where you live? I'm asking you the question. Okay. Do you know that God is concerned about? You say, well, what's the big deal about where I live? Let me show you the difference. You can take, it matters where you plant a plant, does it not? You can take a plant that's designed for sandy soil and put it in like peat moss or something, and you'll kill it. Or you can take a plant that's designed for peat moss and put it in the sand and it'll kill it because it will not have the capacity to develop its root system and survive planted in the wrong place, right? And that's why it's important that you get planted in the right place in your life because God cares about that place because where you are planted, there you can grow roots and roots always determine your fruit, okay? Your fruit is always determined by the roots of your life. So God has a will for where you are to live. Let's talk about it in the general spiritual sense. Notice in Psalm 92, verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. Notice, planted in the right place, what are they going to do? Flourish in the courts of our God. Now, this describes being planted in God's house. What does it mean to be planted in God's house? It means to get your roots established among the people of God. We know it in today's world as being planted, being a part of a local gathering of believers. You need a church home. You need a place where you put your roots down spiritually, where you can grow. There are far too many Christians that are floating around from church to church and never put their roots down so that they can serve and grow and learn and be a part of the life of a family of believers gathered together, albeit an imperfect family because there is no perfect church that exists, but you get in where God has called you to be. And you get planted in the house of God, you begin to flourish in your life in ways that you could not flourish otherwise. It's not just a matter of that dimension of your life, but every dimension of your life. Take a look at this story from the example of a man named Lot. Do you remember Lot? Lot was Abraham's nephew. And there came a time when Abraham and Lot had to part company because their livestock amounts were so great that they didn't have enough pasture land for both of them. And so they got to divide because of just taking care of all their flocks. And so notice what the Bible says that Lot did. Here's the moment. He's got to decide where he's going to live, where he's going to take care of his family. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So notice this phrase. So Lot did what? Chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. Two men parted company. So here's the moment that Abram, he was known at that time, and Lot is saying, you know, we got to split up. We don't have enough pasture land for all of our flocks. They're growing so much. We need to kind of go in different directions. And Abraham gave Lot the first choice. Lot looks around and says, hey, it looks like a good place. I'll choose to go there. And nowhere in the scripture does he say he inquired of God at all. It says that Lot chose for himself. Now, let me just take it out a little step further for it. Do you know what territory Lot chose for himself? It was the territory that we now know to be the territory of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody say, bad choice. How did he have such a bad choice? Because he made the choice, what? Himself. He didn't consult God about where he was to live. He said, oh, pastor, you're just making a big deal out of this. No, I'm telling you. He ends up having to flee that. Abraham has to go down and rescue him because he made this choice for himself. So maybe you're still not convinced. Are you ready for this next verse? Here we go. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city. We'll spend a year there. We'll carry on business, make money. Oh, I got a great opportunity. Let's go to this city or that city. We'll carry on our business. We'll make some money there. Why do you not even know what will happen? Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? And he says, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, what should you say? If it is whose will? The Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is, what is it? It's evil. And so God has a plan for your life. How you are to live your life. He has a plan for you to understand what you're to do with your life, a plan for where you are to live in your life, and he also has a plan for the value that you are to add to God's kingdom and others through your life. When God made you, he made you to be a value adder. Most people in our world live for what they can get, not what they can give. What's in this for me? That's how most people live. There certainly are times that you need to take into consideration the impact of some decision upon your life. I understand that. I grasp that. That makes sense. But by and large, in your life, you're not living for you. You're actually living to add value to the world around you. So can I just stop for a moment and ask you a question? What value are you? Are you adding any value to the people around you? Are you adding any value to God's kingdom? Because that's how God designed you, and that's what he designed you for. Take a look at this passage, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, one translation says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to do good things, which God, notice this, prepared in advance. He planned it. He set the details of these things that we need to be contributors with our life. See, dear ones, remember today that your life isn't your life. My life isn't my life. Our lives are not our lives. When you and I come to relationship with Jesus and give our lives to him, our lives don't belong to us anymore. They belong to him. Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And by the way, that price was the precious blood of Jesus, his life for us on the cross. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with what you do. So we must understand that God has a plan for our life. If God had a plan for Jonah, does God have a plan for you? He does. Here's the second principle for today. What are we learning? What do you do when you want to say no? Remember this, God's plans always require choices. The story of Jonah is not a story about a man that didn't know what to do. It's a story about a man that knew what to do and didn't do it. Very clear. He knew what to do, but he wouldn't do it. He made a decision to say no to God rather than yes. He ran not only from the plans of God, but he ran from the God of the plans. Anytime you run from God's plan, you're running from the God of the plans. And plans call for choices. You can choose to follow the plan, and that's what real success is when it comes to God, following his plan for your life. Or you can choose to reject his plan and say no to his plan. Notice this diagram, because it leads to two different places. When you live according to your plans, your way, a self-directed life, it might lead to success, but it's a false success. There are a lot of people who will achieve success in this life. Everybody will look at them and say, wow, look at them. They're really successful. Because outwardly, they have all the accoutrements of being successful. Nothing wrong with that. But many will look at them and say, wow, what a success in life. But when it comes to standing before God, they have no success at all. Only the outward success of the world. Or you can live according to God's plans, God's way, with a God-directed life, and you can have what kind of success? True success. Because true success is not about what you achieve or accomplish or accumulate in your life. Real success is all about doing the will of God. If you do God's will and nobody ever knows about you, you don't look like a real success based upon the world, but if you did God's will for your life, when you stand before Him, will you be successful? Yes. All you need to focus on in your life is doing God's will for your life, because that is what success is all about. Let me set it up for you. Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers about the foundation he's laid spiritually with them, teaching them the truth of God's word, the gospel. And then he says, by the way, once I've laid the foundation, you're going to build on the foundation that I've already laid, so you got to be careful how you build. And he says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. You can use gold or silver or jewels, or you can choose wood, hay, or stubble or straw. He says, when you build on this spiritual foundation, you can choose to build with really good stuff, or you can choose to build with stuff that's not going to last forever. But on the judgment day, Paul says, notice this, on the judgment day, when you stand before God, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. And then he says, if the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. Notice this. You can have a relationship with God and know Jesus and be going to heaven. Because what gets you into heaven? You don't get yourself into heaven. What gets you into heaven is faith in Jesus. One thing only. You believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you believe in Jesus, truly believe with a real faith in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave, you can be saved. That's salvation. But you can be saved but never do anything for God. Are you with me here? There's a lot of Christians who are going to heaven, but once they get there, they're building their lives with wood and hay and straw. And when they stand before God and the fire of judgment comes on their life, oh, they're going to be saved. They'll still be in heaven, but they will have no additional rewards of heaven. It'll all be consumed. But there are other believers who say, you know what? Jesus is my Savior. I want to give everything I possibly can to growing in my relationship with Him. I want to build my life with gold and silver and precious stones. I want to build my life by using my life for God's purpose. And they stand before God. And I will tell you something. When the fire burns up the wood, the hay, and the straw, it can't destroy the gold, the silver, and the jewels. Amen? Amen. And there's a reward promise. So it's important the choices that we make. And the choices that we make every day in our life. So God has a plan for your life. But the plan for your life involves choices on your part, daily choices on your part.
Perhaps as you have been listening to today's broadcast, you felt a stirring in your heart, something that reminded you that you need to get something right in your life with God. The first way to start in that journey with God is to open your heart to Jesus Christ, to make Him the Lord of your life, to turn over all your life to Him. And that begins with a very simple prayer. I want to lead you in that prayer right now, and it's a prayer that you can pray right where you are. Say these words: Jesus, I invite You into my life today to forgive me of all my sins. I need You. I want You. I want You to take charge of my life. Be my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says, when we call on God's name, when we call on the name of His Son Jesus, there is salvation that is brought to our lives. He changes us from the inside out. And the Bible says that if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that's what's happened to you today as you've opened your heart to Christ. Let me encourage you. You need to take the next step. The next step is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church where you're studying God's Word. And make sure you get a copy of God's Word and begin to read it. Spend some time each day in prayer. You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Practical Living with Dale O'Shields, Senior Pastor of Church of the Redeemer in Maryland. If you would like more information, please visit our website at church-redeemer.org. May God bless you and make you a blessing.
Hi, this is Pastor Dale O'Shields of Church of the Redeemer in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I want to invite you to tune in to our weekly radio program titled Practical Living right here on WAVA. And I also would encourage you to join us for one of our weekend worship services. All the information about services and locations can be found at our website at church-redeemer.org. That's church-redeemer.org.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.